Begin transmission, Dr. Brown.
Doc Brown again! I have successfully collected all the necessary scientific paraphernalia to explore the physics of America's favorite pastime, baseball. A bat. A ball and mitt. Snacks for the seventh inning stretch. And to help me through the more practical aspects of my discussion, one of the great players of the game, Brett Butler, center fielder for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Thanks, Doc. It's great to be here.
Oh, let's talk about physics. The big mystery. Does a curveball really curve, or is it an optical illusion? This question has confounded science.
Doc. It's no illusion, Doc. You see, standing at the plate, one of the first things you look for is if the ball has spin on it. And with a curveball, one side of the ball is spinning into the oncoming airstream while the other side is spinning away from it.
Oh, that's just what I was going to say. Because...
Doc, the air exerts less pressure on one side than the other. Thus, the ball curves. And if you're ready for it, hopefully you can hit it into the gap for a double.
Exactly.
Back to the future is my favorite thing. Always talk about it and write songs to sing. Even though there was never a part four, Marty McFly is coming back for more. I don't make money, get no fame. Love for these characters is what I blame. Podcast about comics and cartoons and more. Cause there's still things to explore in Marchie McFly 4. It's Marchie McFly 4. Can you feel it?
Day 9, it's Saturday night. Happy Saturday night, everybody. It's March 9th, 2024, which means it's day 9 of year 4 of Marchie McFly, and I'm back here talking about Back to the Future, the animated series. Today, we will be talking about an episode that I didn't completely dislike. I should say, I don't know if I want to say I liked it, but I watched it. That definitely happened. And I feel like seeing some of the imagery of this upcoming episode that we'll be talking about, I almost felt like it was one I recognized. And maybe it's just because of looking up the animated series, these pictures of this episode popped up. I'm not entirely sure. But it does come into play with kind of what's going on this time of year, every year. But I'm not going to get too ahead of myself, too ahead of myself. It is Saturday night, as I said, and just wanted to say hi before I got directly into the episode. I'm trying to think what today was. Today was just, you know, if you listened yesterday, I was talking about how my wife and I are dog sitting. We're babysitting our friend's dog for the weekend. So she's here right now. She is asleep. And I hope her and my dog stay asleep. I'm not entirely positive they will, but hopefully through the power of editing, you will never notice if I have to get up and take them out for a winkle tinkle. Today, we didn't do too much. You know, my wife's still resting her back. We did go for one walk with the dogs. And then I went for a couple walks with the dogs. and I got a lot of reading done. I finished this Dresden book, book three of Dresden. I started reading all the Dresden books. Well, I mean, I'm going to read all the Dresden books. I started reading them. I read three in a row. And then, okay, time to go back to Jack Reacher. So I'm on book six, I think, of Jack Reacher. I started that today. And this has nothing to do with Back to the Future, but I thought I'd fill a few minutes just kind of saying hello to you, my friends. Hello. But even though even though that has nothing to do with Back to the Future, there still always seems to be Back to the Future things happening in March. I don't know if I just picked a great month, but it always seems like there's some Back to the Future things going on. So I saw this today on YouTube. It is from the YouTube channel is called The Prop Store. And this was a video titled Going Back to the Future with the Stuff Dreams Are Made Of podcast. So I'm going to put a link to this video, a link to the Stuff Dreams Are Made Of podcast. And apparently there's this big prop auction going, movie prop auction going on. It's going to be happening soon through the prop store. And this video, it's about 5 minutes long. It shows some Back to the Future, like memorabilia, but stuff you wouldn't necessarily think of, including the guitar that Marty plays at the beginning of Back to the Future, when he turns up the volume on and then boom, blows up Doc's amp. It's this mini little guitar called the Chameleon that doesn't look that small. It's a really small guitar, but I guess in Michael J. Fox, in his hands, it looks like a normal size guitar because he's a slight individual. There's also an amp it comes with. There is a, I think it said screen worn or screen identified shirt, the Clint Eastwood shirt that Marty wore in Back to the Future 3, the one that where Doc dressed him up like a cowboy before he went back to the past with the frills and the atomic symbols on it, the pink salmon colored shirt. And there's also I don't know if it's screen or not, but it looks like a screen used plutonium cylinder that Doc, you would turn it and the plutonium would go, of course, into the time circuits, into the chamber. I don't know exactly. It's not the flux capacitor. It's not the time circuits are what you turn on. The flux capacitor is what fluxes. But it goes into the back of the car before, of course, Mr. Fusion took over. So it looks like there's going to be a live video tomorrow, and there's links to the auction. I'm going to put a link to the live video that's scheduled for tomorrow. I think that's noon on our time. And there's going to, and the link to the video showing these three props, which I think was just pretty cool. And just funny that these kind of came out today, or this video came out yesterday, and it's all, you know, during Marchy McFly. I mean, it's a Marchy McFly miracle. And without any further ado, without wasting any more of your precious time, because we're all losing an hour in a few hours, let's jump right into the next episode of Back to the Future, the animated series. Batter up!
Play my guitar and sing. Take me away. I don't mind. But you gotta promise me I'll be back in time. Beep, bop, doo doo. Gotta be back in time. Doo 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 doo. Send me back to the future. Doo 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 doo. Send me back in time. The animated series.
That picked up exactly where I usually pick up. Yes, today, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about episode 8 of season 1 of Back to the Future, the animated series, Batter Up! This originally aired November 9th, 1991. Where was I November 9th, 1991? Well, I was already a sophomore in high school, so I could have been over my friend's house. My buddy Dave, who will never be on this podcast, but he is on Fine Movies, Fine Spirits with me, and he will be talking Back to the Future with me in a couple episodes down the line. But it was also a Saturday, so there's a real strong possibility that I didn't go anywhere and I just was home and, or went out for dinner with my parents or whatever, whatever. Doesn't matter. The point is this episode aired November 9th, 1991, so now you know the facts. It was directed by John Hayes, written by Mark Hoffmeyer, John Loy, and John Ludin. So it was John Loy, John Ludin, John Hayes, Mark. Mark and all the Johns. So now you know the facts, and these seem to be names that we've already seen pop up a few times in previous episodes. And as I said already, I kind of enjoyed this episode. It maybe because it features old-timey baseball, and opening day is right around the corner here in the United States of America. I like baseball. I used to love baseball. I played baseball. I played Little League up until I broke my elbow. We play baseball with friends, pickup games, whatever. I always loved it. Red Sox fan, so in a way, this team is not quite who I would root for. And there are factual things that I'll bring up about the team in this that's mentioned in this episode. But I feel like maybe because the Red Sox suck and they have all the money in the world to spend on whatever they want, but they put teams together that just aren't that good. Yet a couple of years ago, they kind of had a little resurgence, and you thought they made it to the pennant, and it was very exciting. But when they're not good, baseball means a lot less to me. I feel like I found out that football is the only sport where I'll watch other teams, and I'm into it even if my team, the Patriots, aren't into it, which they haven't been in the last couple of years. All the other sports, I'm into it if my team is into it. But if they stink, it takes away some of the enjoyment of it. But anyway, still the actual sport of baseball, I do quite enjoy. I'll find myself walking my dog at the park and there's a game going on, even if it's a Little League, and I'll stop. And I'll just wait and I'll just watch for a few minutes just because I enjoyed it. I've gone to minor league games. There's minor league teams in the area, or there used to be. Go to those games and I enjoyed it. So maybe that is partly why I enjoyed some of this episode. It picks up with Dr. Emmett L. Brown talking about baseball and the science of a curveball. And he talks about the Magnus effect. And I guess the voices of Jules and Vern, the characters, can be heard outside. They hit a baseball in. It knocks over Doc's camera. So they're like, sorry, Pa. And he's like, remember the Magnus effect, whatever that has to do with anything. But the clip I played at the beginning of this episode isn't actually until the end. So I'll get there at the end. But this is just Doc kind of talking about baseball, which leads them to the Brown Farm and this episode where Jules, Vern, and Marty are playing like just baseball, but not a game. It's just a little game of pickup of, you know, Vern's got a bucket of balls and he is pitching him to Marty, and Jules is the catcher. Now, keep that in mind. Jules, Marty, Vern. Those are the three main names you need to remember in this episode, because I'm not counting Einstein's adventure, but because for the first time in this series, the time travel adventure does not include Doc. It doesn't include Einstein either. So again, I'm not counting the last time we talked about Einstein in yesterday's episode. The main story of this does not include Doc at all. So they're outside hitting balls, and Marty fouls one off into the house. Doc is eating his breakfast. He accidentally takes a bite out of the baseball. Again, that doesn't make much sense, but I guess it's funny. So he's like, wait a second, I can help with your baseball playing. Let me show you what I invented. He comes outside and basically shows them how to cheat at baseball. Or at least he doesn't claim that, but okay. So he brings them outside. He comes outside with these glasses that can show you how to hit any ball really far. And he kills a ball. They're like, that's it? But Marty's like, I have good eyesight. And He goes, let me show you. He opens up his jacket and he shows this suit he's wearing that powers him up. The glasses give him perfect vision to where the ball's coming and where to swing the bat. And the suit helps to make his arms, I guess, stronger, and also how to hit, you know, hold the bat and hit it and swing perfectly to get a perfect swing and hit and perfect kind of connect with the baseball. So it is cheating. It's worse than PEDs, because PEDs, what they'll do, they'll make you stronger, they'll make you faster. They won't make you hit a curveball. They won't make you give you hand-eye coordination. This does that. So you don't even need to take drugs. You don't even need to be good. You just need to wear this suit. But Marty's like, hey, I don't need those glasses. I have perfect 20/20 vision. But then he sees how good Doc is, and he's like, oh, that's pretty exciting. And then Doc, you can turn this thing into the size of a baseball. So he takes the suit off, twirls it up, becomes a baseball, gives it to Marty. And Marty's like, this is great. I could use this to become a major leaguer. And Doc goes, Marty, this isn't used for that. This is just used for practice to show you how to do it and get your muscle memory. He's like, oh, yeah, sure. And he goes, boy, I wish I could have made the majors, a McFly in the majors. And Vern is like, well, look at this. And he shows him a baseball card of Pee-wee McFly. Pee-wee McFly, who was a baseball player for the Boston Bean Eaters. But he struck out, costing the team the pennant back in September 2nd, 1897. Well, guess what, folks? The Boston Bean Eaters sounds like a silly name, but it is, in fact, an actual name of an actual team that is still there today. In 1871, there was a team called the Boston Red Stockings. Sound familiar? Well, you're wrong. Those are not the Boston Red Sox. They became the Boston Red Caps, okay? Who then became, from 1883 to 1906, the Boston Bean Eaters. That was actually the name of the team. They actually played 1 year, 1914 to 1915 in Fenway Park. Yes, the Fenway Park that is still standing today, America's most beloved ballpark with the shittiest seats. And if you're over the 6 feet, you're screwed. And don't worry about angles. You'll just have to turn. And if there's giant poles in front of you, they don't care. They just want to sell this old crappy ballpark. The Bean Eaters became the Boston Doves. Then they became the Boston Rustlers. Then in 1912, they became the Boston Braves. But then they became the Boston Bees. What? Back to the Boston. Not bees like B apostrophe S. Bees as in buzz, buzz, I'm going to sting you. Imagine bees in Back to the Future. Interesting. Bees have nothing to do with Back to the Future, right? Right. Well, remember that. Anyway, the Bees became the Braves again, the Boston Braves. In 1953, they became the Milwaukee Braves. And in 1966, the Atlanta Braves. To this day, they are the Atlanta Braves. Yes, Pee-wee McFly played for what became the Atlanta Braves. So that is just something I looked up, because I thought they made it up for the show, but then we come to find out that they're playing the Baltimore Orioles. And I said, well, wait a second, why would they make up one team but not make up the other? So I did a little research. I Googled it, and this is how I found out what actually was going on. That is an actual team. So Marty finds out that he strikes out, and it makes him leave the majors. And so Marty's like, well, the heck with this. Let's go on a little road trip. He's going to bring him the cheating machine to show him how to cheat at baseball and help him. So they steal the car, go back in time, and they're like, Clara sees them leave. It's just Marty and the boys. Clara sees them leave, and he's like, are they going on a trip? And Doc's like, yes. Marty said he's going to go help a relative with some work or something, with a hit. I forget what it was. It's just Doc wasn't even paying attention at all. Good fathering, Doc. Good fathering indeed. So they travel back and go to, this is ninth. Where are they playing? So I can tell you exactly where they're playing if they're in Boston. They, okay, let's go back to here. The year they went to was 1897. And in 1897, it doesn't even say. It just says the Congress Street grounds from 1894. It doesn't matter. So maybe they didn't actually play. I'm so confused. Who cares? Doesn't matter. We'll just say they played. Oh, South End Grounds. They played there. The South End Grounds, which, if I click on that, is Wow, it's an old baseball park. I wonder what it is today. It's in Boston. It's not too far away from Fenway. I would love to see kind of where this is. I'm zooming in on my Ruggles. That's my old train stop. Wow, it's not too far from my work even. This is pretty cool. Okay, anyway, this has nothing to do with anything. I just wanted to see where the Marty and the kids went to back in the 1890s. So they travel back to Boston, and they get right to the games. No problem, they get seats. No problem, they're already dressed like they're in the 1800s. And who's pitching but Pee-wee McFly. There's a guy selling dachshunds, hot dachshunds, and we learned something. We learned that hot dogs used to be called hot dachshunds, I guess, and that's what they call them, hot dogs. So that's interesting. So we see Pee-wee up at bat. Marty is cheering and yelling, and because someone slid hard into Pee-wee, and they're like, hey, that's cheating. And they're like, no, Marty. Vern's telling him, or Jules is telling him, back then the decorum was not, the rules weren't exactly the same as they are today. And Pee-wee gets so hit that he's absolutely concussed, completely concussed. And someone's jeering in the front row, and we find out that it's Diamond Jim Tannen. Well, I don't know why all of a sudden his name's Jim instead of Barry Tannen or Biffy Tannen or anything like that. But Diamond or Swiffy Biff Tannen. But nope, it's just Diamond Jim Tannen. Marty sees that he is completely concussed. And this is 1890s. They have no idea. They just think, oh, he rung his bell. Marty runs down to help him out, steals a wig off a guy's head, turns it into a mustache. Yes, so he can look like he can look like Pee-wee. Puts the glasses on, and then all of a sudden he's got an Irish accent. He's like, yes, so right, I'm here to help you. And he goes and he strikes people out like he throws a pitch that's like 100 miles an hour. Diamond Jim is angry because it turns out Pee-wee is supposed to throw the game. And Diamond Jim, I guess, paid him to throw the game. Now Pee-wee's getting attention from women. He's all excited. Pee-wee's getting attention from women. Marty runs down and changes back clothes with Pee-wee. He's like, congratulations, you won. But Pee-wee's not so excited because he's afraid Diamond Jim is going to beat him up. He's going to fight him. And meanwhile, Jules and Vern are having them all sign baseballs so they can make millions of dollars. I don't see what happened, so they must have done it. They go over to a barbershop so that Pee-wee can talk to Diamond Jim. And Diamond Jim's like, you need to throw this game. That's what you're supposed to be doing. And that's what I paid you for, it turns out. He said, I think we found out later he paid him. So it's very much like a Shoeless Joe kind of thing. But while this is going on, Marty is doing the hair cutting. Jules and Vern are like giving him nail trims. I don't know exactly why they're doing this. I think they want to know what's going on. And for some reason, to disguise himself, Marty put a Hitler mustache on. That's all I can't describe it any other way, except that Marty has a Hitler mustache. So they get chased out of there and it doesn't really matter. And Marty's like, or Pee-wee's like, I can't do this. I don't want to cheat. But he's going to, he's forcing me. Marty's like, get out of town. And Pee-wee goes, oh, that's a great idea. So he jumps on a trolley and he leaves town. He heads out. He's going to go. So we jump to commercial and then we get back to the facts. And we get a fact that is actually no longer correct. It says a batted baseball can travel up to 120 miles per hour, but a well-hit golf ball is capable of 170 miles per hour. Well, I found out that a baseball... it's golf ball speed. The highest hit baseball actually topped 120 miles an hour. So 30 years ago, 120 miles per hour. I think with the advent of technology, maybe something else, baseballs have been hit 122 miles per hour. Now it says here, a golf ball is capable of 170 miles per hour. But folks, golf technology has changed over the years. And it looks like Tiger Woods has hit a golf ball 180 miles per hour. That looks like the record fastest golf ball was 211 miles per hour. That's what it says here in Google. And when is that wrong? So a lot of technology has changed a lot of things over the last 30 years. So this was a fact then. It's not a fact now. So we get back to the game and Marty shows up fully in his cheating suit, ready to pretend he is Pee-wee McFly, who I guess, see, this is strange. In 1885, Seamus McFly lived in California, and his son was their great-great-grandfather, right? Or great-grandfather. And their, but he must have had a brother. No, he had a brother. Seamus had a brother who got killed. That wasn't Pee-wee, right? Remember he got shot? So how many brothers does Seamus have? Because timing-wise, you'd think this is Seamus' brother. It has to be. Or his cousin with the exact same last name who looks exactly the same as Marty. Because every McFly looks exactly the same except George. None of them look like George. So Marty goes in there. Everyone thinks he's Pee-wee, including Diamond Jim. He's like, you got those stupid glasses on. And he goes in there and he just starts pitching like crazy. Meanwhile, Seamus is trying to get on a ship and go to Ireland. He's going to go hide in a bunch of potatoes. Marty pitches a sine wave, you know, like the sound of, like, you know, audio wave. He has a pitch that can do that. He's striking people out. Everyone's excited except Diamond Jim. Now Diamond Jim goes to rush the stage, and he ends up getting towards Marty, but beating him up. But the police take him away, and Marty's glasses are destroyed. Now you'd think this is where Marty would learn to play without the glasses. You'd think this would be a Teen Wolf moment where Marty goes to the big, I'm sorry, Scott Howard goes to the big game, okay, and says, I'm just going to show up, and like, where's the wolf? It's like, I think we can win without him. And then they get that song, come on, you remember Teen Wolf, right? Always on the bright side, baby. And it's just this, something like that. Very Randy Newman type song. Teen Wolf. I'm not going to do a month of Teen Wolf, but damn it, you should watch that movie. It's not great, and yet it is great. So even though you think this is the moment where Marty learns not to cheat, and Marty learns not to try to get the, take the shortcut, he keeps the glasses on that are malfunctioning, and now he can't pitch, and he can't hit. He goes to pitch, and it rolls up, and the guy kills it and hits it very far. Meanwhile, while that's going on, Pee-wee sees a couple kids playing baseball by the dock, and they say they're Pee-wee, like they're pretending to be Pee-wee McFly. And the dock worker goes, you know what? Actually, I'm sorry to tell you, Pee-wee McFly, he's bought and sold by Diamond Jim. He was paid to throw the game by Diamond Jim Tannen. And the kids are crying, no, say it ain't so, which is a classic, say it ain't so, Shoeless Joe. And then Pee-wee pops up and goes, it isn't so, I'm going back. And they'd probably be like, well, wait a minute, why aren't you at the game? But he goes, it's not true, I'm not going to do this. So he heads back to the game, uses a guy's bicycle to get him back to the game. Meanwhile, Marty is up to bat, facing backwards. Now remember, at the beginning of this episode, Marty said, I have perfect vision. So take those friggin' glasses off, Marty, and at least try to hit the ball. Instead, we get stupidness. Stupidness because we're a dumb cartoon. He's facing the wrong way. He's got two strikes. To this point, even Jules is now voting, rooting for the Orioles. Sneak through a sewer? I think Pee-wee sneaks into the stadium through a sewer, goes up, grabs Marty, pulls him back with two strikes, all right? Then changes outfits with him. And before the third pitch is even pitched, Marty is now back with Jules and Vern because this is a dumb cartoon. He's like, whew. Hey guys, I'm ready. I don't know what the hell he said. It doesn't even matter, even though I just watched it. And then Pee-wee hits a home run so far. Oh my God, there's another Hitler mustache. That guy actually looks like Hitler. Okay, hits a ball so far, he hits a home run. They win the big game. They change history. The amount of things that could happen just from this, even the police officers that I'm seeing right now have Hitler mustaches. This is strange. Now, maybe they're just Charlie Chaplin mustaches then. In the 1890s, they probably were a little more in style. But seeing them in 1991, even though the cartoon is taking place in 1897, still feels a little weird. So a baseball's being hit. Now, outside, Diamond Jim is like, you got nothing on me. You got nothing on me. And then the girl he was with the old time is like, oh, yeah? And she shows a badge. She's from the FBI, from D.C. And she says, I'm going to make sure you go away for a long time, Tannen. And, you know, now we know that Pee-wee's going to be safe. So Tannen tries to break away. And at that moment, the baseball that Pee-wee hit from over the, you know, over the wall, home run, hits Biff on the head. Or, I'm sorry, Diamond Jim, wink, wink, on the head. I want to say killing him instantly, but we don't know this. He probably just, he gets dragged off to prison. And Pee-wee is now the hero. And now they're back in 1991. And now the baseball card says Pee-wee was the big hero of the pennant. Now, that was only the pennant. They still had to go into the World Series. That was just the pennant. If you remember at the end of Major League, when Tom Berenger slides into home plate and they win, that's just the, I think that was a one game playoff to get to the pennant. I don't even think that was the pennant. That was just a one game playoff against the Yankees. And then they had to go into the playoffs. And I don't think they did very well, which is what happened, what they kind of reset in Major League Two. That has nothing to do with anything. Anyway, I'm just kind of showing that this wasn't the World Series, but it would get them there. So, but again, this team won the pennant, which means jobs were saved that might have been fired. People who had jobs might have might end up getting fired. So there is a ripple effect in the annals of time and history that is affected just by that one baseball game. Now, I feel like nowadays it would be affected even more with the amount of commerce that surrounds major league sporting events. But even in the 1800s, you feel like certain bets were made and they were won or lost and things changed. Marty and Jules and Vern changed things. They cheated and they changed things. Marty cheated. Nothing is learned. There's not a lesson learned in this. Pee-wee decides to stand up, I guess, to the criminal, and he comes and hits the home run. But all those guys that were struck out by Marty may not have struck out when Pee-wee was on the mound. So again, this is a big, this is just a terribly morally corrupt episode, and yet I kind of enjoyed it. And so they pitched to Marty again. He's like, I picked up a few things from my cousin. Oh, it was his fifth cousin three times removed. And he's like, I picked up a few things, and he kills the ball. He hits the ball so far that it goes into town. I don't know how far away this farm is, but the ball goes into town, and Doc is walking out with a glass to replace the window that Marty broke at the beginning, or the kids broke with a foul ball. And of course, he's walking with glass. You think the ball's going to hit it, but it ends up hitting the Hill Valley Glass sign glass for the Hill Valley Glass, because there's a store called Hill Valley Glass. And Marty goes, ooh. Oh, Doc's like, ooh. But then we hear a crash. He drops the glass anyway. So Doc really had nothing to do with this episode, but he is wearing a cool shirt with like clocks on it. And that's the end of the episode. And then we cut to what I play at the beginning of this episode. An actual, we don't get Bill Nye Science Guy in this. We get Brett Butler, Major League Baseball player. Doc comes in and they talk about curveballs, and they actually show like a curveball being thrown. Looks like at a Dodgers practice. They talk about the different science behind the curveball. And then Brett Butler actually takes a mini DeLorean, puts a spinning baseball on it, on top of it, so it's spinning, and then they have the DeLorean drive, and it actually moved. The DeLorean actually turns to the right because the wind and the spinning baseball make the DeLorean actually curve. So it proves that curveballs are not just an optical illusion. They're actually a real thing. Then Doc tries to get tickets off of Brett for him and his family for free. And Brett's like, well, only probably the Dodgers were too popular. He's like, only if you go back and, you know, get tickets back when Babe Ruth was playing. And I don't think Babe Ruth played for the Dodgers. Am I crazy? I know he played for the Red Sox. I know he played for the Yankees. I know he came back for the Braves later. Anyway, that's the end. And I almost forgot, and I've been forgetting to do this, but at the very end, we get like a little Biff joke. And now it's Biff saying, hey, what's the best way to hold a bat? By its wings. And then he holds an actual bat by its wings. Then the bat attacks him. And that's the end of the episode. I don't know if it's my favorite one yet. It's a low bar. It really is a low bar, but I didn't thoroughly dislike this episode, and yet I'm looking back, ripping it apart for the just the morally corrupt cheating that Marty McFly was completely fine with. But it was fun to see them go on an adventure without Doc. I would like to see Doc and Clara go on an adventure without anyone. Just a nice romantic time with the two of them. I would like to see Clara and the kids go out. I want to see friggin' George and Lorraine. Where the hell are they? I want to see Biff. We've seen so many other Tannins, but I haven't seen Biff. I'm friggin' Diamond Jim. But I would like to see good old classic 1991 works for the McFlys, Biff Tannen. I'd like to think, or not, you know, I don't know if he works for them, but he does polish their cars. He has his own business, so there's that. But that's it. I'm done. Happy Saturday night, everybody. We're going to be back again tomorrow for another Sunday fun day of Marty McFly. It's also Oscar Sunday, but I don't think there's any relation to Back to the Future in any of the nominees tomorrow. Though I would look it up just to see if there's any connection, just to, I don't know, give me something to talk about. But that's tomorrow, my friends. Until then, you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, Mastodon.social, and Blue Sky at Geek Mentality. That's all one word, Geek Mentality. You can also follow Fans Not Experts on YouTube or go to fansnotexperts.com to find this and every other podcast we do. So that's it. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for subscribing. And I keep forgetting to say jumping gigawatts, because that seems to be the Cartoon Doc's, like he's got a saying. Instead of just Great Scott, because that's not enough, he has a new one, jumping gigawatts. It doesn't ring the same as Great Scott, because that is like reminiscent of the movie, where this is like, where the hell did that come from? Okay, now I'm done. I had to throw that in. I keep forgetting. I wrote it down the other day and then I forgot. It's not written down anymore. I don't know where it is. Okay, I'm done. I'll see you tomorrow. Until then, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. And here is my theme song.
This is my podcast. I made it. Geek Mentality's what I named it. And I think you should listen and subscribe.